Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
Welcome to Barbecue Nation with JT's After Hours. Conversation that took place after the broadcast ended.
Hey everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Hey, everybody. Welcome to After Hours here on Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, and we've got our holiday specialist, Meathead Goldwyn, with us. And we hope sincerely that this coming week you have a lovely holiday, Christmas, and then on to New Year's season. And blessings to you and your families. And so, there, that said, let's have some fun.
Now, all right, let's have some fun. You call this After Hours.
Yes.
How come you don't serve drinks?
Well, you're not here in the studio, so you can't tell.
Well, I mean, if you guys have tapped into something, then I should tap into something, and we should have a real after hours party.
There you go. That's why I've always encouraged you to look at the single malt scotches. I mean, I just have.
Yeah.
That's why you do that.
I've never been a really big whiskey man. But my wife recently went to Louisville for a conference, and she came back addicted to bourbon.
Uh-oh.
And, the other night I came out of my office, and there on the dining table were six really expensive bourbons lined up with snifters, and she staged up a bourbon tasting. Bourbon and single malts are my two favorites, although I've had some really good dark rums that I love. Brown whiskeys, I prefer to gin and vodkas and such. But I recently was in San Francisco, not recently, about a couple of years ago, and had my first Negroni. And now I'm addicted to Negroni.
Oh, my gosh.
Do you know what a Negroni is?
Yeah. How did you, I mean, was that something you did by choice, or did somebody buy you?
God, you know, I was trying to remember that the other day. I think somebody bought one, and I sipped it or something. I don't remember, but I order them now a lot. I really like them. For your listeners who don't know, it is equal parts gin, Campari, and sweet red vermouth with a twist of orange on the rocks. That's it. Very simple. Equal parts of three gin, Campari, and red vermouth on the rocks. Now, I've read a whole bunch of variations where people will serve Amaros instead of Camparis and white vermouth and so on. I've tried several, and they just don't work for me, like the real original. And it's this beautiful cranberry red color, and they're just delicious.
There you go. There you go. And if you have more than a couple of them, you won't care. So that's. I said something the other day. I went to the... trust me, folks, we'll talk about food in a second. I went to the post office to drop off a box to ship, and the local little post office that's in a little town next to the little town I live in, they take a break from 1 to 2 o'clock for lunch hour because it's so small that they do that. But it's a lot better than standing in line at the regular local post office where there's 20 or 30 people deep, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I come in there with this little box, and I'm getting it shipped out. And lady said something, and I went to pull the money out of my pocket. And I said, my God, I said, this looks like I've been in the bar all night. And I said, my handwriting is so bad anymore. It looks like I'm signing the bar tab at 3 in the morning. And they started laughing about that. And then, of course, the stories came. And I was like, yeah, that's all fun and games, but let's get this box shipped, would you? But I guess the point being is we've all been in a bar and closed out a tab at 3:30 in the morning, so we know what that's like.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
All right, let's talk about some other our foul weather friends like some duck or pheasant. We have a lot of people out here that like to go hunting. There's a lot of people out here that will have venison and stuff for dinner. I was one of them for years. But it takes a little bit of different technique to cook, like a pheasant or a duck, or if you're going to do a big venison roast, depending on what the size of the deer you got, or an elk roast, it's a little different in cooking that. So why don't you share your thoughts with that on those?
Well, I mean, we're coming up on Christmas, and we spoke during the main show about festive meals. We talked about beef primals, beef tenderloin, and hams. Of course, what a lot of people go for is the Christmas goose or the Christmas duck. I'm seeing more and more questions about goose and duck cooking than I've ever seen before this year. On social media, people are asking more about it. And that reminds me, I got to finish publishing the doggone duck article I started. I got to write this down right now. Duck. Okay. sorry about that. I've been writing a duck recipe, and I got to finish it. The thing that makes duck different than chicken and turkey is that they have a very thick fat layer beneath their skin. And also, there's not a lot of meat on them other than the breast, thigh, and drumstick.
Right.
So you're not going to get a lot of meat from the rest of the carcass. I like to do the classic Peking duck prep with either duck or goose, which isn't all that hard, but it is a multi-step process. Or, if you don't want to go through all that, a really good technique is to split the bird in half. When you split the bird in half, you create gaps on the edges where fat can drain, and then you either cross-hatch the skin with a sharp knife or just stab it so that as you cook it, the fat can render and melt and drain.
Sure.
If you get it right, the skin on duck is just fantastic tasting, but you want to get some of that fat out of there. Otherwise, it's just too fatty, and it stays rubbery, and you want to get it crispy. So you start cooking this, if you split it in half, start cooking it cut side down, the cavity side down, and start cooking it that way. And then you flip it over, and you lift the lid so you can stand there and watch, and you cook the skin side. And be prepared to move it off the flame if it starts to flare up, because it can as that fat drips. And you can sear that skin and get it really crispy and golden, and it's fantastic. I do a technique called duckapalooza, which is my answer to festive duck meal. I'll take a duck, and I'll carve out the breasts. And they have enough meat, and it's red meat, that you can grill it like you would a steak. And so I'll cross-hatch the skin, and I'll grill it just like I talked about, bare side down first, then the skin side, and I bring it up to about 135, 140 degrees to almost medium. It's pink, and that is a steak. I'll take the legs off, and I'll peel the skin off of them, and I'll smoke the legs, and when they're done, I'll shred them. Then I'll take the skin off what's left of the carcass, pull that aside, and either grill it or put it in a frying pan and make cracklings out of it.
Mm.
Crunchy cracklings are like potato chips. They're fantastic.
Yep.
Then I take what's left of the carcass, break it up, put it in a pot with some carrots and some celery, some onion, and maybe some apple or something, and I make a soup out of it. So I have a duck soup from the carcass, which I then strain and serve with the shredded smoked meat from the legs mixed in and the cracklings floating on top. And that's the first course. And then the second course is the grilled duck breasts, along with some broccoli, which I saute in duck fat. Duck fat is really flavorful, and it's great on broccoli. And so that is my duckapalooza.
There you go.
It is fantastic.
You're making me hungry. I mean, that's the point of this show sometimes, but that's really making me hungry because I love duck.
I do too.
You know, remember the old TV commercial? I'm not trying to vary off here, but go on a rant, as we would say. But remember the old, there was a TV commercial where the guy would go in and he goes, I will have flaming filet of yak, Peking style. And that's when you were talking about Peking duck. That made me think of that old commercial that the guy would do that.
Well, Peking duck, and you can do it with goose also. This is where you cook the whole bird. The trick here is you want to separate the skin from the meat so the fat can render. In the restaurants, they use an air pressure gun, and they like blow it up like a balloon. You can, if you want, use a bicycle pump, but you can just run your hand between the skin and the meat to do that. And then they lightly poach it with boiling water, which kind of shrinks the skin and starts to break down the connective tissues and makes it a little more tender so that it can grill crispy. And then they hang it in a, nowadays it's a gas oven. Some of them are still using charcoal. I use my Big Green Egg. I use, it's one of the few things I use my Kamado for anymore. I'm not a big fan of round Kamados, and I'm not a big fan of the Big Green Egg, but I have rigged my Big Green Egg so I can hang ducks and gooses in them.
There you go.
And it gets them cooked perfectly, the skin really crisp, and then if you really want to go to town, when you're done, you can actually ladle some hot oil over the skin, so as you sort of fry the skin, and then you slice it, serve it on these little pancakes with scallions and hoisin sauce, and that's your classic Peking duck. I mean, there's a little more complicated than that. It's a multi-day process, but it is good. It is wonderful.
Okay, we're gonna wrap up this show, and I'm gonna go have Chinese food for lunch. So that's.
Yeah, that reminds me. Remember the movie The Christmas Story, where they go to the Chinese restaurant for dinner on Christmas Day?
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, what a classic! What he called it, Chinese turkey or something?
Yeah, what was that? Actually, we've done that. We've gone later on Christmas Day. We've gone to see a movie. And then stop by a Chinese restaurant on the way home. Because, I mean, even though you got a refrigerator full of, you know, rib roasts and everything else, man, sometimes just that bowl of hot and sour soup and some wonton or something just sounds delightful. You know, it's a little different, so.
Well, Peking duck is a treat, but usually you have to order in advance unless it's a specialty house where they make a lot of them.
Right.
I can visualize the scene now of the family all sitting there in the Chinese restaurant, and the waiters are trying to sing Christmas carols. They're the only table in the house, and they bring out the duck with the head still on.
Yep.
And they're all freaking out, and the guy takes out a cleaver and
beheads
the duck right in front of them. This is an author, by the way, Gene Shepherd, J-E-A-N, Shepherd. It's a man, Gene. And he's a wonderful humorist. He's best known for the book Christmas Story, or the movie Christmas Story, and he narrates it. It's his voice. But he's written a number of books, and they're just wonderful. The same sense of humor, delightful read. For people who like reading fiction, Gene Shepherd is a lot of fun to read.
There you go. Last question for you, my friend. What does Meathead Goldwyn want for Christmas?
You know, there's not a lot that I need.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as cooking is concerned, I, I have just about any toy that I could ever want, and I can buy whatever I want in the way of ingredients because it's a business expense.
Sure.
I know what I want. I want a little time off. I'm an entrepreneur. And for your listeners out there who started their own businesses because they hated their boss and they hated their job and started their own business and then came to the rude awakening that you have to work harder when you're your own boss.
Right.
And that you have employees who are really act like your bosses, and there's bankers who are your bosses. You're not giving up your boss. I've been an entrepreneur all my adult life since I was 21. I've owned my own and run my own businesses. And I'm still working 7-day weeks, 12-hour days.
Yep.
My wish is, my wife just retired, I'd like some more time off. I'd like to be able to travel a little more and spend more time in the garden.
Well,
that's my Christmas. Hopefully.
Maybe you would do that. Remember, we were talking off the air about a mutual friend of ours, and I told him, I said, don't quit your day job, because believe me, it's a lot easier than trying to manage 15 balls in the air with the different things that we do. Anyway, Meathead, I hope you and Mrs. Goldwyn have a wonderful. And,
no, you can't get rid of me this fast. I need to ask you, what do you want for Christmas?
You know, I think it would be, and this is kind of one of those beauty pageant type answers, but like you, I've got all kinds of food toys and things like that. I would like to do a thing where we could use food and the things that you and I do as a premise to bring people together and not just families and stuff, but in kind of a maybe an international flavor to say, you people don't get along. Let Meathead and the cowboy cook come and cook for you, and then you dumb bastards better sit down and talk civil to each other. You know what I mean? So really something like that, that's kind of a lofty goal, but I really think that I've always thought that, you know, breaking bread, so to speak, together should, in fact, be a way to start to cease hostilities between people. So that's kind of...
That's a wonderful goal. You know, we do something like that already, and it's called Thanksgiving.
Right.
And it's because Thanksgiving is my... That's why Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday, because we all get to sit down and eat. Most of us sit down and eat very close to the same dinner. Turkey, mashed potatoes or sweet potatoes, cranberries, stuffing. You know, some people have ravioli and whatever. But,
sure.
You know, so many people, regardless of race, religion, sex, and political persuasion, share the same meal on Thanksgiving Day. And it's the one holiday that is based on food. It's my favorite holiday because of that. I think it comes close to doing what you're wishing for us. We need to do more of that for sure.
Yeah, I just think so, because people can't yell very loud when their mouth's full of food. So
well said.
All right. I hope you and Mrs. G have a great Christmas, and I'm sure we'll be talking to each other. And
and same to you and your wife and daughter, and happy holidays, and all your listeners, and we'll see you next year.
You will. For Meathead, I'm JT. We'll be back next week with another show, but I'm not going to tell you who it is because it's going to be a surprise. Take care, everybody.